They show up late to any event that wasn't their idea. They forgot to include you when they sent out that group email about a work project they didn't really want you on in the first place. Every compliment they offer is backhanded and seems to be more of a dig than anything else. They dance around their needs, often implying desire, wanting you to pick up on it, but never saying, "I wish I could do this." When there's something bothering them, and everyone knows they're bothered, they won't say anything about it because you should just know. Or when they finally do say something, it's that classic four-letter F word. It's fine. I will not take the entire 15 minutes of the sermon today just to list out the passive-aggressive behavior I've experienced in the last week. Oh yeah, these weren't just hypotheticals. When you're preaching on it, you notice it. This is just what I saw this week. Is it passive-aggressive of me to start the sermon just by listing it out? Oh, as we turn to our scriptures today, I've decided it's a good day to go fishing. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. You gotta love a guy who receives a direct invitation from God and opts to just run the other direction. He could have said, "What?" or "I beg your pardon." He could have simply said, "No," or "Ask someone else." But Jonah, instead of responding, opts to just skip the real talk and go for a walk. Now, the book of Jonah is an allegory, a story made up to teach a lesson. Unlike some scriptures where biblical scholars debate, did this or did this not happen, this story is just that. It is a story. And in it, I see a layer of meaning that reminds us, sometimes the problem isn't the answer that we offer. Sometimes the problem is how we offer it. I start wondering about this. So often our scripture writes about problems and things because they give us something to talk about. Have you ever considered the stories of the Bible that didn't get written? Like the Book of Morgan, for example. The word of the Lord came to Morgan, child of Sarah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Morgan replied, "No, thank you, Lord." So the Lord asked someone else. Who knows how many times the story could be told that way? Morgan decided to be direct. End of story. The people putting the Bible together wouldn't know what to do with the rest of the page. It's three sentences. But that's not what happens in Jonah. No, no, no. It's a story. Because it's not dealt with well. Jonah passive-aggressively just disappears, which only adds to the conflict. Thus, in the story, we are reminded avoiding a conflict doesn't make it go away. In fact, being passive simply amplifies and multiplies the issues, so there's even more to deal with when you get back around to it. And in Jonah's case, it's a great storm. Now, yes, it's a metaphor, and we've all watched people make passive-aggressive choices that bring about storms in life. In fact, we've all made passive-aggressive choices that have brought about storms for other people. In fact, let this be our weekly reminder that as I talk about dealing with difficult people, I'm talking about us too. Let's hear a little bit more from the story of Jonah. So the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All of the sailors were afraid, each crying out to their own God. They threw all the cargo in the sea in an attempt to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. So the captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up, call your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so we don't perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." So they cast their lots, and all of them said Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? What are your people?" And he answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the earth." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" Though they knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down?" And Jonah replied, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." So, a couple things. There's this big storm, and he knows it's his fault. A storm so crazy, people are ditching cargo and crawling out to anything they can think of. And what does he do in the midst of the storm he created? He goes downstairs to take a nap instead of dealing with it. Lord, help me, I know this person. Lord, help me, I've been that person. And when he finally does engage the situation of his own making, did you notice his reply? "Pick me up and throw me in." Oh, this is a pattern that shows up in unhealthy systems and unhealthy relationships. The people who don't put any effort into the relationship or the system, but get all of the efforts of those around them. Right? He's the one that should be doing something, and he says it, "You can all put your energy on me. That's just fine." He knows the storm is of his doing. He knows that getting off the boat would calm the storm and save the people. He waits until they ask him, and then he tells them it's their job to take care of it. Instead of taking a step on his own, what does he do? He's passive and makes it their problem. Can you hear him? "I'm sure. I wish I could stay on the boat, but that probably won't happen." If that's what you think needs to happen, okay, whatever, I'm fine. And here they are, their effort, their energy, their response to his problem. And I won't even get into the guilt that he's putting on them. How do you think these folks are going to feel after they have to throw a human being off their boat? In fact, next week's sermon is on people who abuse guilt and play the martyr card. We'll be coming back to that conversation. But like Jonah, we can all stir up a storm that affects others around us. So the first question for all of us is, are there feelings or needs that we have that are affecting our behavior? See, there are times we are passive-aggressive in very conscious ways. But there are also times we don't even notice we're being passive-aggressive because we haven't done the work to identify the feelings or needs that are driving things. And that's where we would benefit from doing the work and asking some questions of ourselves. Am I avoiding talking to a coworker because I'm upset about how that last meeting went? Do I keep implying to my sibling what I want them to do without ever actually saying it to them? Am I leaving the last couple of dishes in the sink and not running the dishwasher because I feel I have more to do around the house and I finally want my partner to contribute some? Side note, that is not about my wife. That would be some grade A passive aggressiveness if I just included that about her. We have to ask questions of ourselves and think about why, because the answer to those questions tells us something we need. It tells us something we're seeking validation for. And being self-reflective is not easy, but if we can identify the places we are being passive, we then can work on being direct. I think about that last situation. It came up in so much of my research as a classic domestic issue. I wonder what it looks like to turn to a partner and say, "I'd like to talk about how we share responsibilities around the house." I tell you, that is going to get you a much better response than the two dirty cups left on the counter reminding them that they haven't done anything. And as we consider passive-aggressive people, the statement, "You can't change others," is even truer than normal this week. In fact, I've been thinking about the bulletin cover. You know, I sent the title and sort of some ideas over. This is what we're talking about to our graphic designer, and she sent us several options, and we settled on one. I notice you're all looking. Oh, yes, bright color of her background, people playing tug of war. Okay. Though when it comes to people who are passive-aggressive, I think we almost should have changed the bulletin cover this week. Because passive-aggressive folks aren't playing tug of war with us. They're the people who let go of the rope, causing us to fall backward, and then ask, "Oh, were you holding that? I'm sorry, I didn't notice." Because they're not engaging. And when people do directly engage us, we still can't make them change. So when folks won't engage, it's even less likely that we can say or do something to shift their behavior, and the only thing we can change is ourselves. All we can do is name it and invite a conversation, hoping the conversation might be direct enough to bring about something different. I think about some of those phrases, tools we might keep with us to offer in these moments. If you have something you'd like to talk about, please let me know. If there are some feelings you need to share, I will listen. I would gladly respond to a direct question. These are ways we can engage these moments and invite something real instead of something that brings about a storm. These are boundaries that say, I see you. And these are ways that we can address what's wrong if we will do the work together. But the key piece is using tools and phrases like this in a non-accusatory way. It needs to be invitational so that we can begin and nurture a conversation. You see, the story of Jonah is one of avoidance. It's a story of frustration. It's a story that, if you read it to the end, even includes pouting and grumbling. Jonah's a character. And as for much attention as that giant fish gets, we would do well to really focus on what Jonah is doing, or should I say, what Jonah is not doing in most cases. Just like how in our lives we would do well to focus on what we are doing, or should I say, what we're not doing that's affecting our relationships. Because let's be honest, it's not all fine. Life is messy, life is complicated, life is difficult and confusing, and none of that changes by trying to avoid it. It's only going to change if we engage it. Amen.